You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. This episode comes from the earlier version of the podcast, known as the ETT Rap Show. Enjoy!
Welcome back to the ETT Rap Show. I'm here again, once again, with Tyler Knox.
Hey!
What's going on, everybody? This week we got a special little episode. We're doing kind of a taste test episode.
Oh yeah!
Along with talking about some other topics, we are both trying out bulletproof coffee for the first time. It's not the true bulletproof coffee that that gets marketed by Dave Asprey, the bulletproof guru. But I guess we're a little downgraded. We're like Kevlar coffee, I guess.
It's amazing though.
Yeah. It's really tasty. Like I said, I've been putting coconut oil, and I've done a little of butter in my coffee before, but not to the extent of what he recommends. So we're going to talk about the recipe that he recommends, our recipe we use today, and then we're going to talk some pros and cons of what we found out, what the good and bad of bulletproof coffee is. So, let me tell you guys the original recipe. I know I talked about it on the first podcast. Do you remember some of the components, Tyler?
It's coffee.
Uh-huh. Good one. Good.
Coconut oil.
Okay.
And grass-fed butter.
Okay. Exactly. Pretty good. Okay. The second one, you said coconut oil, it's actually, according to the original bulletproof, quote-unquote, coffee is MCT oil, medium-chain triglycerides, which is in coconut oil. But the one that the Bulletproof Dave Asprey markets, he has his own brand. It's like a super concentrated type of oil.
Okay.
So yeah, they, some of the components that are in coconut oil are in his MCT oil, but apparently that's like a super concentrated version of it. So,
all right.
So he says basically 8 to 12 ounces of coffee. And of course, he has his own special coffee that he markets. Put that all in the blender, whip it up, get a nice frothy mix, and then that's your breakfast or your meal for the day. I know he uses it along with intermittent fasting, so he'll just drink that in the morning, and then that'll be it. Probably, I guess, maybe till dinner time, something like that. So
that's insane.
I've heard him talk about it before. I know he lost a lot of weight using this method. He said so.
Say the poundage. It's
what I've heard, and I could have, and like I said, I could have been wrong. I could have misheard, but he said 500 pounds, and he doesn't work out. That's one of his claims to fame too. Because I've heard him a couple times on Rogan's podcast, and he has his own podcast too that I've listened to. That he, he'll work out 15 minutes every week, maybe.
15 minutes.
Yeah.
His heart's probably loving him.
So, but I mean, like I said, supposedly lost a lot of excess fat. So, I mean, I don't know. Some people believe in it because he's doing pretty well for himself. So we did a little modified version because we didn't have MCT oil. Well,
we found some.
Apparently we did after we already made the recipe. I brought over some coconut oil, some organic virgin coconut oil from Trader Joe's. And then I had some nice Buddy Brew coffee. A nice roaster out of Tampa, which I really frequent and I love. I love their coffee. We got a Sumatra, I guess, a Sumatra coffee. And then we used some grass-fed butter from that Tyler picked up.
From Rolling Oats.
Rolling Oats, yeah. I don't know, Stony Hill, something like it. Was like pasture-raised or something.
Yeah,
so some exactly. Good stuff. And for our recipe, we used 12 ounces of a coffee. A tablespoon of coconut oil, and then about 3/4 tablespoon of butter.
12 ounces of water. I think you said coffee.
I did say coffee, because that's what I meant.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Once it's mixed. Yeah. It's like, we used almost a full pound of coffee.
Then, right when we were about to blend it, Tyler's wife said we might have MCT oil, so yeah. We found it up in the cabinet, and we put a tablespoon of that in, too.
Yeah, it's like, why would I have that? Oh, because I was making deodorant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I went to extra college,
Yeah, regular hippie.
Hippie, watch out.
And I thought it smelled like petroleum. So we blended that in a blender, and blended it up for probably about 20 seconds, and came out, and we're drinking it now, and
yeah.
I really dig it.
Yeah, give me the flavor profile that hits you.
The best thing I like is that I can still taste the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very latte-like.
It is. It's silky.
Yep.
I wish there was a little bit more coffee taste.
Yeah.
If I was to describe the color, I'd say it looks like you added some cream to it.
Right.
And then on top, you can see like the emulsified oils a little bit from the coconut and maybe even a little of the fat from the butter.
Yep.
But overall, when you, it's not too thick either. It's, I would have thought it was, because that coconut oil that you brought is like hard as a rock.
Yeah, I had to do some work to get it out. So.
But yeah, overall, this is pretty yummy. We'd modify it maybe next time a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to add more MCT, what do you want to do? I know I did a quick of our recipe. I don't know about the original recipe, about the nutritional facts. Per cup, we got about 22 grams of fat. Most of it's going to be probably saturated fat. And about 200 calories per cup. So like I said, he kind of markets it as this is your meal replacement for the breakfast.
Yeah.
So you don't have to eat at breakfast, which I'm not a fan of. I like breakfast. You know, I'm getting away from eating it right when I wake up now. You know, I'll drink, lately I've been doing tea and some coconut oil in the morning. And then I'll eat my breakfast about 2 hours after getting up.
Speaking of that, you posted a picture of breakfast earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
What time did you make that breakfast? Because it looked like a spread.
I made that right when I got up. So I get up around 4:30. And then, so that's up around, that made that around 5.
Yeah, and that was like, looked like an omelet with kale and sweet potatoes. What was it all?
Yeah, I'll give a little insight. Obviously, the pictures of the non-cooked stuff, there were two pictures. It's a little collage. You guys can go to my Instagram and check it out.
What's the Instagram?
ET Tampa, ETTAMPA. And the first couple pictures are pre-cooked. So I got a picture of my butter I used, the Kerrygold stuff, three eggs in the cast iron pan. Then the next one are my veggies I used. Then the next pictures I took in the morning is, you know, while it's cooking, and then the finished product. So like I said, it's probably about a cup of kale, half a cup of other veggies. You know, I think pictured I had tomatoes and peppers, but in the morning I threw some sweet potatoes in there because I already put those veggies in my salad for my lunch. But either way, but yeah, like I said, I'll cook that up before I leave the house, put it in a Tupperware, put it in my lunchbox, and then before I start my first account, you know, between 7 and 7:30, I'll eat that.
Gotcha.
Which is good, because I used to wake up immediately and have to eat because I was so hungry. But now, which I think I've been kind of transferring over to more fat adaptive, I don't have to eat right when I wake up, which is nice.
And I think something that might have really hurt people in their diets was the phrase, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Because that, for me, it was ingrained in me. I was like, I woke up, I need to eat because that's what I've been told is the most important thing. And I might not be hungry. And it's like, no, you need to eat before doing stuff. And nowadays, if I'm not hungry, I'll make something and just bring it to work. And once I get hungry, I'll start eating it. But like, why? You're not going to eat lunch when you're not hungry. You're not going to eat dinner when you're not hungry. So right. Why eat breakfast right when you wake up and you're not even hungry yet?
Yeah, that's the key. Like I said, especially when you start eating the right stuff, which obviously is still up to debate what the right stuff is. But I think when people get into the routine of eating cereal, you know, a bagel and stuff like that.
Well, that cereal's going to last you for a good 30 minutes and then you're going
to
be hungry.
That's
again.
The thing. You eat it and it's easy to ingest, you know, and you don't feel full, and then it makes you want to eat again.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. If you get away from that, like you said, you wake up like you're not very hungry, and then you eat when you are hungry.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the goal. Like I like breakfast, and I'm not going to promote people not to eat breakfast.
Yeah.
Like I said, if you wake up and you're not hungry, there's no sense of eating. You know, eat when you're hungry. That's kind of the goal.
Yeah.
And a goal to try to be hungry less is to eat the right stuff. Okay. But like I said, with his brand, there's some benefits he claims to why he drinks this type of coffee. Obviously, he said he lost a ton of weight.
What's his website?
So his website is bulletproofexec.com. So exec is exec.com. Okay, so bulletproof exec. If you just put bulletproof coffee in Google, it'll come up.
First, what was his name one more
Dave
time?
Dave Asprey.
Okay. Okay.
Like I said, a lot of interesting stuff, but he apparently got this kind of idea for this drink when he was climbing mountains and maybe kind of like...
So he was working out?
I guess. It says, you know, he learned about the power of butter 18,000 feet above sea level in Tibet.
It's pretty high.
Yeah, apparently he was... he got up there and somebody gave him a drink with yak butter in it.
That sounds amazing, actually.
Yeah, and apparently it sustained his energy through the day and everything like that. And he, you know, kind of refined the recipe and came up with this. And, you know, he uses it with intermittent fasting to really lose weight. So I don't think he really does too... I mean, I don't listen to him enough to know if he still does intermittent fasting. But like I said, he's definitely lost, you know, he's kind of fit now, I would say.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would call him fit, because I don't trust anybody that works out twice,
yeah.
you know,
it's kind of weird.
A month is what he said. So.
Yeah.
But like I said, as far as diet goes, I mean, it has a lot of good properties, I think. And I've heard him talk on a podcast, he promotes some good stuff, like the fat-fueled stuff. So,
Has Rogan ever had him on?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a little bit of a controversy with Rogan, because Rogan had him on, and apparently he was promoting the idea of microtoxins on coffee.
Okay.
That's why he was promoting his coffee blend is better.
Oh.
You know, he said the microtoxins that are in the normal coffee, like Starbucks or stuff you buy at the store, they have microtoxins that kind of kill, like, I mean, really harm your body. So that's why he promotes his coffee, because it's extra clean and doesn't have those microtoxins, and then you couple that with the bulletproof coffee, then you get, you know, you're just purifying your body.
Interesting.
A well-oiled machine.
Gotcha.
But Rogan, they had another coffee expert on, said the microtoxin theory is kind of bunk.
Yeah.
So.
You gotta do your research, right, guys?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's why I know coffee, I mean, not coffee. I know Rogan, he kind of... When the guy's name comes up, he feels like the guy kind of took him, you know, kind of gave him sold him a bad bill of goods. But, you know, like I said, he's got some merit in his stuff, so I wouldn't write him off totally. But, like I said, the idea is that the butter and the coconut oil and the MCT oil provides you the necessary nutrients you need to get through the day without having to eat whole meals and things like that. But we also, of course, you know, with anything, there's going to be people that are tell you the bad stuff behind it.
Okay.
So obviously, I think anybody, especially traditional coffee drinkers, think putting butter in coffee, they probably, you know, they shriek at that.
Yeah.
And what do you think?
I would say that, first of all, I don't know where that even started. Butter in coffee, that just sounds insane to me. It's like, maybe someone was just like, you know, this whole milk just doesn't do it for me anymore. I'm just going to go straight butter. And then just tried it and was like, you know what, that's kind of good.
Yeah, well, half and half, half cream, half milk, too.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
that's
and
true.
I put heavy whipping cream in my coffee. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
So, because it's more of a fat dose.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, like I said, butter's not too far off from that. You know, I mean, they're both dairy products, so, but like I said, that people think the taste of butter, and plus butter, you know, I think we've kind of mentioned it through the 80s and 90s was vilified for raising your cholesterol and being bad for your heart.
Well, that's what you can do is use I Can't Believe It's Not Butter and just put like the liquid spray into your coffee. I think that's
I'm sure that's what he wants to do. Yeah. All right, so I found a website, actually. I've been to this website a couple times before, Authority Nutrition, authoritynutrition.com, and they take a lot of, I think they provide really good nutrition advice because they do a lot, he does a lot of scientific research. He looks for the best scientific research and then presents it in a good kind of a nice format that's easy to comprehend. So
is this multiple journalists, or is it one guy?
This is one guy, but he researches it from, you know, good research.
Okay.
Like what he'll do, he'll take, like I said, and he'll cite it. It's nice. You'll see if you go to Authority Nutrition, we're actually on the article, Three Reasons Why Bulletproof Coffee is a Bad Idea. That's from November of 2015. Okay. Oh, an ad. How about that? Great. Now, how do I get out
good
of
luck.
This?
Yeah. That was all risky, right, man.
Yeah. So like I said, you go through this, if you look at it, you know, he talks about it, the recipe, talks about David Asprey, yada, yada, yada. And this guy, he says it before he goes into the three reasons. He says, you know, for the record, I'm a big fan of grass-fed butter, saturated fat, and coffee. But he says, normally separate and in normal amounts is what he says. Normal, quote unquote. All right, so we already went through a lot of the other stuff. And he says, one of the reasons, the first reason, you are displacing a highly nutritious meal with something that is low in essential nutrients. So that's what we're talking about. Drinking this instead of eating breakfast.
Yeah.
Obviously, like we talked about my meal, I got vegetables, I got eggs, I use some grass-fed butter.
Yeah, where's my protein in this coffee, man?
Yeah, no protein. That's a thing. And so, I mean, that's a, it's a good point. Like I said, like that. I think it's, if you're already a good weight, I mean, like I said, like if you're already in within, you're not overweight, not obese, I think, you know, eating whole ingredients, like the omelet with the veggies, I think is probably, you'd probably be better off. Maybe you get your, you get more distribution of macronutrients, you get your protein, your good carbs, and you get your fat too.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like I said, with this, you know, I know how it first originally started was trying to lose weight. So I know there's pros and cons of intermittent fasting, which we'll probably get into at a later date. But like I said, I kind of get what they're saying. So he always, he puts out the point of the, like that's reason one, number one, and then he'll usually summarize it at the end. Bottom line, if you replace one of your daily meals with a mix of coffee and fat, then you will significantly reduce your total nutrient load of your diet.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
simple, right? All right. So number two reason why Bulletproof coffee is a bad idea. Saturated fat is good, but humans did not evolve eating such massive amounts. It is a lot. I mean, like we said, what we said, per cup, we got 22 grams, and most of that is saturated fat.
Yeah.
22 grams of fat, most of it's saturated fat. Okay, and I think what the daily recommended value of fat, is of saturated fat, is about 25 grams. Ah, no, sorry. About 20 grams, 22 grams. So we're getting over 60%. We're almost at 100%. Of
good.
Our daily value of saturated fat in this one thing.
Good.
And of course, I mean, that's, you know, the I think the FDA recommended amount for a 2,000 calorie diet.
Yeah.
Which I don't go to, which I don't go by much anymore. So he said for that point, saturated fat seems to be perfectly safe in normal amounts, quote unquote. But the doses contained in Bulletproof coffee are much higher than we were ever exposed to throughout evolution. This may be a problem. Okay. And like I said, make sure you go check out this guy's website, check out this article, because he cites different scientific research within each thing.
Yeah.
So like he has little footnotes, and you can click on, and you can go to the scientific study which he's referencing in this. So I recommend you do that.
Does David Asprey also cite scientific research? Or is he just going by, like, his anecdotal evidence of himself?
Well, I think with the promotion of the coffee, with the idea of saturated fats, I think it's maybe a little bit of both.
Okay.
You know, because there's a lot of good research coming out about the saturated fats, about how healthy it is for your brain function, everything like that, how it doesn't affect cholesterol, or, you know, bad, quote-unquote, bad cholesterol, which is a whole nother podcast. So I think he does, because he has a podcast himself, and he has really good people, nutrition specialists on there talking about it.
Okay.
That, you know, he, like I said, he doesn't agree with them all the time. He has a different approach to things. But like I said, I think he does cite some good sound nutrition research also. All right, number three. There have been some case reports of dramatically elevated cholesterol due to Bulletproof coffee. And we just kind of talked about cholesterol. So like I said, you imagine with that much oil and butter at that much amounts,
it's going to clog up.
It, you can think with cholesterol, but the thing with cholesterol, the more and more research we do, we're figuring out there's different types of cholesterol, and the ones that we thought were bad are not as bad as they were, and the different shape of the molecules of the cholesterol. I mean, it's a whole nother thing that I'm barely understanding.
Yeah.
But I'm understanding it's more complicated than just good and bad.
Yeah.
Bottom line, there have been numerous reports of people having massive increases in cholesterol levels when drinking Bulletproof coffee. This includes advanced risk factors like ApoB and LDL particle number. Sorry.
You can't pronounce that?
No, it's obviously an abbreviation for some type of molecule, cholesterol molecule, ApoB and LDL particle number. All right, so like I said, that's the calc you do. You get your cholesterol test. They have different numbers for high, you know, LDL, HDL, high density levels, low density levels. But there's also, like I said, what I'm learning now, there's different shapes and whatnot, and what one means opposed to the other, what the other one means. Like I said, it's complicated. So, finally, he summarizes it. Should anyone be drinking Bulletproof coffee? What do you think? You just finished your cup. What do you think about Bulletproof coffee after reading all this stuff?
Personally, I don't think that I would drink this often. I think it's a fun treat every once in a while. It's just something different, but I don't know. It just does seem like it's a lot of fat. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to drink this coffee in approximately 30 minutes or so. I'm going to eat because I like to eat. So.
Yeah. Like I said, for someone like us who were, I mean, our diets are relatively good.
Yeah.
Like I said, he mentions one thing, you know, at the end summarizing, he says, if you eat a lot of carbs and you're drinking this,
mm-hmm.
it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Because you're doing high carb, high fat.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of problems. Because
if you're doing that, your body's probably going to burn the carbs but store the fat, or the other way around?
No, like I said, the idea with high fat diet is that your body, it will fuel your body, like I said, like that, but it does. There's no insulin response because there's no sugar in there.
Got it.
Like I said, so it stores it as fuel, obviously, but like I said, if you're active, if that's your primary fuel source, you know, the fat, then that's good. But like I said, most people, if they're doing carbs and fat diet, like they're eating a lot of carbs, eating a lot of fat, well, then basically one or other has to be the fuel source. And whatever's not getting used is going to be stored as fat.
Just stored.
So, yeah. And then that's what they say with sugar, you know, it produces more of an insulin, you know, it raises your blood sugar, produces insulin, and then that's when you get some effects of, you know, potential of diabetes and things like that.
I mean, everything in moderation, right?
Yeah.
Like, why would you do this all the time? And maybe he didn't do it all the time. Did he? Did he say he did it every day?
I think that's what his meal was. I believe, like I said, I don't want to... I just, what I've thought, what I've heard about it, and, you know, I've heard on the podcast, he drank this, and then I think it would be all day, you know, he wouldn't eat until later in the day. He would have, you know, vegetables and things like that.
Interesting.
So he went on basically a pure fat diet, and then, you know, vegetables and probably some lean meats and things like that also.
Hmm. Would you do this every day yourself?
No. Like I said, I like coconut oil. That's why, and I might buy some MCT oil too, because like I said, I only need like a tablespoon in there. But no, because I cook with butter and stuff like that, so I don't need to put it in my coffee.
Yeah.
And then I also eat animal protein through the day, so I'm getting fats and saturated fats. That's why I eat eggs too, so that's a lot of good saturated fats.
I mean, yeah, this is a cool treat.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of black coffee, though.
Yes.
Like, I like the taste of it. It's good.
I know. I kind of want one now.
We're going to make some more.
But yeah, I think, like I said, taste test, good taste. I love the blending.
Yeah?
I want to get a small, like a Ninja or something at home, so it's tough because I can't do it in the morning because my fiance is still sleeping.
Yeah,
like I said, getting up at 4:30, it's tough to do anything.
That's like a normal time, though. Most people get up at 4:30.
Yeah, she does. She usually gets up most days, goes to the gym, too.
With you? At 4:30?
She'll get up at like 5:15 and then leave for the gym before I leave for work.
I was joking, but...
No, yeah, she goes to the gym before I leave the house usually.
Wow.
So,
yeah, that's commitment.
Yeah, she's really been hitting it hard lately.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm super proud. We've actually, because she came home with a couple of headaches this week, and the more I've been reading about, you know, being more fat adaptive, is that when you start cutting back on carbs... and if you're exercising heavily, it can result in headaches.
Really?
Yeah, because like I said, glucose is what feeds your brain.
Yeah.
You can also run on ketones, which is kind of what's in fat. That's what you run on when you get fat adaptive. But you
takes a while though.
It does take a very long time. That's why we're in that period because we're eating a little bit. We're less carbs than normal.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, like no sandwiches. I make her lunch every day pretty much now, and it's salad. With
I wish you were my wife.
Yeah.
Make my sandwiches.
Your wife
please.
Is a lot prettier than me. So you're probably better off. So like I said, we don't do sandwiches anymore, and like I mean, we'll still eat some bread every once in a while. You know,
it's a treat, right?
We don't eat pasta. You know, no. So but like yeah, she we're. We do love our charcuterie plates and stuff like that. So ooh. With a little French baguette and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, we love trying new restaurants. So we're not really gonna hold back when we go there. So,
yeah.
But yeah, like I said, this is a great treat, and I'd say recommend anybody trying it unless you have limitations already put on by your doctor about your cholesterol and anything like that.
Yeah, I would say if you have. Like a terribly high cholesterol or heart problems, don't ever try this.
Like I said, I wouldn't recommend it, but like I said, with all the research they're having now, what we thought about cholesterol and heart
mm-hmm.
disease is not even due to fat
yeah.
intake, it's due to too much sugar.
Yeah.
So that's what where I'm listening to. So
okay.
I'm sure if I listened to the other people,
yeah.
I would get a totally different story.
Probably.
So, but like I said, I'm feeling better. Like this week was the first week where I'm like,
you're catching up to yourself.
I think the fat adaptive is really paying off.
Well, I think we talked about last week. It takes what, like a couple weeks to start feeling a little bit better, then maybe a month to kind of, what was it, 80% you start burning the ketones?
Yes. Yeah, I think it was 21 days is what he talks about.
But that's like a year to be 100%.
Yeah.
Like that's insane.
Right.
People
yeah.
want results like that.
I know. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's a kind of a good segue because another thing I wanted to touch on is the weight loss industry in the United States.
You just want immediate gratification, right?
People, yeah, they want it. They lose the weight like that.
Mm-hmm. Water weight.
Yeah, and that's easy. I mean,
yeah.
And then when people see that, and it's funny because I kind of brought that up because recently Oprah. You know, there was kind of a big thing. Oprah tweeted out that she says, I get to eat bread every day on Weight Watchers, and I lost 26 pounds. And then, of course, after she said that, the stock spiked.
Like
they earned all kinds of money.
Or
yeah, used all kinds of money. And it's funny because she, in October of last year, bought stock in Weight Watchers.
Mm.
So she gained a lot of money.
Interesting.
It's funny. I did some research today and saw a headline that, or not today, I recently did research and that it's kind of come back down. But she essentially doubled her initial investment into the Weight Watchers.
Wow.
And I've also found that John Hopkins did a study on the different weight loss programs, Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, Nutrisystem, so forth. And they try to find some really good long-term research to see how effective it is.
Okay.
And they found very little stuff over, very little research into its effectiveness over 12 months. So,
is it because of individuals giving up on it, though?
They said the studies have not been done themselves.
Okay.
And or the companies, Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, they don't have that information. So, but they said that Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig are the best, quote unquote, best as far as the weight loss, industries. But I think Weight Watchers was 16% success, And
how do you determine success, though?
Great.
Everyone's got a different body type.
That's right. And let me try to bring this up because I got this right here.
We got to finish up what he said. That article that we were just reading from, where he said, like, what do we think about the coffee?
Oh, yeah.
We never even gave...
He basically kind of reiterated what we say. He said,
okay.
if you mix a high carb and a high fat diet, you're going to be in trouble.
Okay.
So you
got it.
If you want to get on a high fat diet, it might not that it's it's not some not that bad to complement it with this during a high fat diet, but
mm-hmm.
you don't want to combine it with a high carb diet.
Okay.
But he was going off the really hitting on the fact that it's a lack of nutrients.
Okay.
Especially if you replace a meal replacement, use this as a meal replacement, the Bulletproof coffee. You're missing out on the nutrients of, say if you're eating veggies and eggs, like
yeah.
I do, like
yeah.
my egg and veggie scramble. So
yeah.
you miss out on that if you replace it with this. All right, so apparently, I don't know why, but the article's not coming up. But like I said, I wish I had the hard numbers for you.
But either way, even without having the info, it's something tough to quantify the results of a weight loss program when everyone is so different.
Right. And like I said, they said there wasn't a lot of research available, but, I mean, they were finding in the single digits of people losing weight and keeping it off over a year. I mean, less than 5%.
Now, I'm not a professional on the way Weight Watchers works or Jenny Craig, but are they the ones that will provide you with a meal plan?
Well, I know there's Weight Watchers has kind of got a little bit of a different kind of reform their program, so they have a lot more online counseling too. So I think, like I said, they do the point system.
Is it like calorie counting?
It is calorie counting, yes.
Pretty much, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So they have a point system associated with foods, but they also now they offer, you know, counseling. They're trying to move towards making it a lifestyle more than just a diet.
Well, that's what it needs to be.
Yeah, so which is good, which is why Weight Watchers as in that industry is probably the top, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 16% is what I remember them being keeping it off more than a year. 16% of people.
That's pretty terrible.
It's still very low. And you're investing in it because I think I saw numbers anywhere over $500 per year.
Oh, wow.
To invest in it. Yeah. The numbers alone for the weight loss industry, those type of industries, $2.5 billion annually.
Oh, man, we got to get into it.
Yeah, exactly.
But we got to get into it and make it work.
Yeah. So like I said, that's why I like this fat adaptive.
ET Tampa, coffee, and living life.
Like I said, people have to learn that it's a lifestyle, not just a temporary fix.
Yeah.
Don't give yourself a time frame for your diet. Don't say, I'm going to do this for 6 months, then I'm going to go back. No, don't go back. List out your stuff that you eat, you know, find those things that, you know, I'm a believer that sugars and grains are really what causing you to hold excess fat. I'll start slowly transitioning that stuff out of your diet. You know, you can substitute other stuff. There's plenty of stuff you can substitute in, whether it be meat, vegetables, healthy fats, you know. And then hopefully, I mean, you should start seeing losing some of that excess weight.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not a nutritionist, not a dietitian. I can't write meal plans for people. But what I saw personally, myself, and the people I know that lose weight, it's generally when they start eliminating the carbs, especially empty carbohydrates, stuff that's in sugars and grains.
And one thing that I want to just hit on real quick towards the end of this podcast is knowing your body. I find that sometimes, I mean, I'm really tall. I'm 6'6", I'm really skinny. I'm not going to put on huge amounts of muscle easily. Like I could, but I would have to eat tons of calories every day, tons of protein, work out for hours on end. And when I look at a magazine, I see a guy that's really ripped. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I want that. Like, I want to be that. But it's not really feasible. But it's the same thing for people that want to lose tons of weight and look really skinny like all these supermodels. It's like, they're that skinny because that's kind of their body type.
Right.
You know? And plus they're extremely, you know, extreme dieting.
Yeah.
But you kind of got to be comfortable with what you have and optimize what you have.
That's a key thing. Because like you said, body types, there's different type of body types. Like I said, you're not going to look like that one body type on the cover of the magazine.
Yeah. Okay?
And like I said, I like the fat preferred diet.
Yeah.
But you might have to do a mixture of carbs and fat. Like females and males, like I said, females usually need more carbs, you know, for brain function, especially if they're going to become pregnant and feeding a baby, they need more carbs usually. Like I said, I'm just kind of talking, you know, general stuff that I've learned over the last, you know, year or two.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm never going to prescribe a diet to anybody. If anybody has any recommendations, I would say easily just try to cut out those carbs and grains.
Yeah.
I mean, not carbs, excuse me, grains and sugars.
And do research for yourself.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah, find out, you know, trial and error. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been a vegan for 30 days, been a vegetarian for 30 days, paleo for 30 days,
yeah.
You know, and now I'm trying this fat, trying to just stick to this.
Yeah.
You know, it's always...
Does it work for you? Does it not?
Exactly.
And then just keep going.
Yeah, as I said, I mean, obviously consult your physician, you know, get your, you know, get some of your blood work, see what kind of nutrient deficient at, and then go off that.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, just, you know, try to do as much, get as much data as you can possible, and then make your own decision.
Take hold of your own life, man.
Yeah. Like I said.
Come on.
I don't want to get into any other subjects. We've done a lot. We've covered a lot today.
Yeah.
So I'm really proud. This is number four. We're coming out on a weekly basis. Number four. And we're going to keep going, guys. So we really appreciate you guys listening to us. And we love the feedback. And if you guys have any topic suggestions for us, you know, let us know.
Yeah, hit us
up. We love hearing back from you guys. So, all right. That's it for us this week, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Later.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks.